Hey, welcome to this free episode of the Subbeacon. As a reminder, this is a couple weeks old. This episode's about Army of the Dead, which is the Zack Snyder zombie opus that came out on Netflix. I love this movie, of course. I am Sonny Bunch, JVL, Lesso, Vic, Quadrants. Gotta check it out. This episode's a couple weeks old. Like I said, we got new episodes up at the Patreon, subbeacon.com. Go there to check us out. Get the new episodes right to your phone live. Be with all the cool people doing that. This week we've got an episode up on the new Mark Wahlberg, Antoine Fuqua movie, Infinite, which is on Paramount Plus. I don't know if you listen to watch Paramount Plus. I don't know if you have Paramount Plus. I don't know if Paramount Plus is one of the 27 streaming channels you have, but I had to pick it up for this. So if I had to watch it and had to sign up for a whole new account, the least you could do is sign up for the Patreon and throw us a few bucks a month to make sure that Vic doesn't storm off the show again. Remember when that happened? I do. So anyway, let's listen to this show, Army of the Dead. If you want the new episode, go to the Patreon, subbeacon.com. It's right there. You just sign up. It's real easy. And hope to see you there in the comments.
What is this?
It's a goddamn zombie tiger.
That's crossing the line.
You gotta know when to hold, when to hold, know when to fold.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Jonathan V. Lass, the Sunny Bunch. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com. You'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and don't forget about the Subbeacon merchandise store at tpublic.com. Gentlemen, how are we? JVL.
Not great, Bob.
Not great, Bob. Not What's great. Going on?
I you know, G Money was having some bad dreams, and last Thursday I went downstairs. I fell asleep in the chair next to him, holding his hand, as you know, like a good dad. And I woke up the next morning with a crick in my neck, and that crick turned into a searing headache. And we are now 6 days later, and it is still going on. And it basically has made me like non-functional. Can't concentrate, now, can't sleep, can't lie down.
First things first. G Money is old enough to know, I assume, dreams versus reality, that sort of thing. I forget, I lose track of.
Who can say?
Because it's hard. When the kids are really small, it's crazy, right? They like, what's happening? And then you kind of have to try to explain, because it must be really weird when you're that young. It's like, you know, what is real, what is not really, and what is. But
Or what is real and what is parental manipulation.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of that going on. I'm not going to lie.
Right. And secondly, it sounds like you may need some acupuncture. That's what
so,
it sounds like.
So I went to see a real doctor today, and the real doctor was supremely unhelpful and said, yeah, could be anything. I said, really? No kidding.
Is this
I came in with a couple possible differential diagnoses myself. I said, could be some soft tissue damage in the neck, the way you get in a whiplash injury, some soft tissue trauma that is creating this. It feels like a sort of concussion-like effect. You know, she's like, well, she said, I don't know. Just go get an MRI. Yeah, it's like take two aspirin and call me in the morning.
That's now, the thing now.
15 years ago, there were six MRI machines on the planet.
Yes.
Every Caribbean medical school doctor in the country like has some rando walking through the door. They look at them and they say, get an MRI.
And they're usually friends with the people who do the MRIs. It's all connected, you know.
Is it like a concierge with the kickbacks?
It is. You know, it's like the more MRIs, the better, even though it's insanely expensive and stuff like that. It's funny you should mention it. In my readings of the Bonfire of the Vanities, there is a passing reference to magnetic resonance imaging and that there was like only one or two machines in the country or something at the time.
Yeah,
it's very
funny. This is what it was. And no, but I did wonder, because then as you leave, they give you a sheet with the list of all the places in the area that do MRIs. And I noticed that the first couple places I called, the phone numbers on this sheet were incorrect. And so I just, you know, I just kept moving on down the list until I thought to myself, is there some kickback? Is this like the guy from, you know, the two people from the restaurants near the hotel come over and they say to the concierge, yeah, you know, you give them a coupon for 5% off and we'll give you a little something every time someone comes in. You know, like, is that what it is in the medical profession?
Related to that, do you remember the story of one of the ex- Washington.
David Shaywitz, I need to know this from you. Tell me the answer.
I'll tell you. One of the
when you get off the treadmill, I need you to email me and tell me the answer to this question. Now,
one of the ex-Redskins, I'm not going to guess which one because I could be getting it wrong, was involved with a number of other ex-NFL players where that was a whole scam of medical, you know, equipment fraud. And they were like supposedly buying equipment that they weren't really buying, and you know, things like that. I mean, it could be a big racket. You know, there's a lot of opportunities for that in the medical field, is what I'm saying.
So here's where this is all heading, though, is that the MRI is scheduled for like 2 weeks from now.
So
and
you're gonna get
if
one.
If things are not better 2 weeks from now, then I will be actually very worried. Because again, I'm basically non-functional.
But it's all from just a crick in your neck from when you were from one night. It can't possibly be.
Right, it's probably a brain tumor. Let's just all.
No,
be
I was going
to
say that.
Probably.
I was going to say, although we're older now, so everything is much more magnified in that sense.
Anyway, the point of this, Victorino, is that I'm going to go see a. God help me.
What? You're not going to see a chiropractor. Is that what you're going to say?
Chiropractor.
No, come on. No offense to any
That's
of our chiropractors.
That's not a real doctor.
Not no offense to any of our chiropractor listeners. We like you. But those who are, it's, come on, man. You can't do that. They're going to have you come. They will fix it for you, JVL. You just have to show up twice a week for the rest of your life.
Why don't you just chicken bones over my neck and dance around me in a circle?
Just go to a homeless guy and have him punch you in the face.
Oh, same effect?
So this is, as I try to explain, because people get very offended when I say things like, oh, you're a DO, that's not a real doctor. Oh,
is that osteopathy? Wait,
what's a DO?
Doctor of osteopathy.
I don't know what that means.
It's yeah, that's the new thing now, though. It's the new thing. It's like
that doesn't sound real either.
No, so here's what I say, and I mean this truly. If I could get into the medical school that grants that degree, then it's not a real doctor. That's my bar. You know what? I could have gotten into DO school. I could have gotten in to be a chiropractor.
Not Georgetown's DO school.
They don't do that. However, maybe they do. I don't think so. There was a, you know, I know you didn't watch the Sopranos JVL, but I'm pretty sure there was a line where they were trying to encourage one of these flunky kids of one of the mobsters to, you know, give medical school a try. And the kid says to Tony, whoever, he goes, I did. I even tried osteopathy. It's the line.
That's good.
Anyway.
Anyway, I will report next week.
Yes.
On how my voodoo doctor
Yes. I would even say, I don't know, if you're going to do that, you might as well go the acupuncture route.
Sure. Maybe.
I mean, I would say
Bob Kraft, see if he could recommend any good Asian massage places.
I would say acupuncture is more legit than chiropractor.
Yes. Yes.
Chiropraction.
Yeah. A chiropractic. I remember my friend Steve Yastaris had gone to one, and, you know, before you even make any decisions, they're like, okay, let's schedule it right now. Okay, let's put you down. Okay, next week, what time? You know, and your option is not no. Your option is Tuesday or Thursday. You know.
Do you know what this reminds me a lot of, Victorino?
Yes.
The cruise ship spas, which are just an endless series of upsells, right?
You get onto a cruise ship, and they're like,
hey, you know, because you're a special admiral level, we're going to give you a free 15-minute massage. Just go to the spa and book, because, you know, on embarkation day. And when you get there, your free 15-minute massage turns out to be like $600 worth of potions and lotions that are sold to you.
But I don't mind that. I mean, I think I might have spent $800 on one of those massages. I was done in 15 minutes.
Question.
It worked, and I did go to sleep.
Since you, Sonny, since you mentioned massages, I want to ask a question, and maybe I'm just out of touch. Maybe I'm wrong, and the rest of the world is right. But here's a thing I said on Twitter that I got a lot of pushback on, which is that cruises are expensive. And I don't know if I'm just looking at this from the perspective of like the Weekly Standard cruise, right? Which was always definitely like kind of more expensive, but that's because you get to meet celebrities like Vic Mattis.
Yeah.
My basic understanding is that there's like it's $1,000 for 5 days. More or less, right? No. And then it's like a bunch of upsells. It's like, yeah, you can get this, but if you want the all inclusive package, it's this much more. If you want, the good buffet instead of the crap buffet, it's this much.
All the buffets are the same. What did you get in trouble for, Sonny?
Well, I said cruises are expensive, and
they
I don't know
are.
If
they
I'm
could
like,
be. Depends.
I don't know if I'm like out of touch with the people because I don't go on cruises because I would rather put a live. Lion in my pants and have it gnaw off my nuts than go on a cruise. Because cruises are floating factories of disease.
Yeah, but you know what? I've been fine. I never got the norovirus or anything there. And I have to tell you, there
False.
Are moments when the seasickness
Puerto
is
Rico.
Really bad. And
False.
You say to yourself, there are moments where you can get bad seasickness and then you'll say, I can't believe I paid for this.
Surrounded
or in some
by
cases,
people. All
but
the time. The
well, that's the part
small.
That I love. That's the part that I love. And I love that my room with veranda. I kind of liked, but in retrospect, I really enjoyed those cruises. It's crazy to say that, except for my friend's wedding cruise to Bermuda, which was the worst seasickness. We had a storm that was ridiculous. But by and large, and I just had a conversation about this the other day. I liked Holland America because it's mostly old people.
Yeah, you fit in. You felt very comfortable.
Yes, and of course, there's nobody at the gym.
No one was judging you.
It's like Kramer at the old folks' home.
Yes, versus like I've never done carnival, and I don't want to do carnival. I think carnivore, as they say, would
I don't
be,
know
that
what
would be scary.
I see. You're talking about you're saying these things like there's any difference.
Oh, there is a huge
to me because
carnival?
I just all
would
I
you
hear
go
is,
on a carnival cruise,
all
Daviel,
I,
versus
all I hear is floating poop
say,
factories.
No. Versus like Regent or Crystal.
They're all Sonny. The question is, what are there? Are there different price points? And the answer is, there are price points for every budget. Mm-hmm. You can go on cruises where the week will be $800. You can go on cruises where the week will be $15,000.
I mean, all you can.
But it's not about upselling. It's much more about the base rate of the ship and mm-hmm. which. Type of room you get.
Yeah.
I mean,
and different ships.
There are ships where the, so older ships, the newer the ship, the more expensive the cruise will be. There are ships where there are a lot of interior rooms, and interior rooms are quite cheap.
You don't have no windows. Much like a casino, you have no sense of time. In the inside, where there's no windows, you might as well not have a clock.
But I would say on our cruises, there's very, all of the upselling was around shopping. Not mm-hmm. around and like the spa on the normal cruise experience, there really wasn't all that much upselling. No. The drinks were reasonably priced.
Yeah,
like at the bar, drinks are reasonably priced. Yeah. Wine is not. Wine is they gouge you on wine.
It's not all inclusive. It wasn't like
the food is all inclusive.
But the drinks are not.
Certain beverages are not, right? It's like soda is not all inclusive, right. But
water
iced tea
and
is,
iced tea. Water right? and ice, iced tea is inclusive.
Yeah. Yeah. But then you buy your wine and you buy your liquor.
That really depends on you. If you're like certain cruise ships will offer a package deal for all you could drink, which is kind of dangerous.
On a ship.
But
less.
Not to Vic. When Victor, they all have his picture there, like for card counters at a casino. Don't let this man in. Ricky Jay, they had Ricky Jay's picture in every casino
Gabe
in America.
Gabe Kaplan, and then me for the cruises.
They have that for Victorino mm-hmm. cruises.
And that goes for a drink and food, by the way.
Okay. So. Yeah. I would pay money to see you on a cruise, Sonny. Like to just get you wearing a body camera, walking around a cruise ship for like 24 hours.
I remember
Sounds terrible.
On the first weekly standard cruise, like several days in, I found Fred standing in hiding in a corner with his back facing everyone in a corner, sneaking a slice of pizza because he didn't want to be spotted anymore. And it was like too exhausting. And I stopped and I looked, I said, is this what it's come to? And so anyway.
The problem is that on a boat, you can't leave.
You know, it's work. People used to say to us, yeah. Oh, it's so hard. But you know, when you get off that, when you walk out of your cabin, you're on. It doesn't matter. You have to be on.
We should do a sub-beacon cruise.
I would love that.
How many of those tickets could we sell? Could we sell 50 tickets for a sub-beacon cruise? I bet we could
and
sell
then
50.
That would, just, as long as it pays for my own ticket, I'm there. And JV, Sonny, you'd love, the gambling is great.
I like to gamble, but I'd rather just fly. Here's my problem with
gambling
the cruise.
Gambling on our ship is great.
Here's my problem with the cruise, is that the cruise feels like an extended trip when you should just pay the money to fly
to
someplace to get to the place. I don't get it. I don't get the whole, why would I want to watch a movie on a floating, you know,
which I did. I did that on the
disgusting disease factory. I could fly to Vegas and I could go to a Regal there if I want to watch a movie when I'm not gambling.
For the novelty, and some of the ships are very nice.
Sonny,
and
you are the exact wrong demographic though. So
because I'm not old.
Well, or you're not very, very young, well, right? So true. For 25-year-olds,
oh my gosh,
there is a flavor of cruise that is essentially like, hey, it's like being spring break and 20 years old in Daytona Beach now. But it's not like it would be creepy. You know, now at 25, if you went to Daytona Beach, it would be creepy. So just come on Carnival.
Right.
And you get that sort of experience.
That's like the 311 cruise.
I guess. I don't
That's
know what
a
that
thing.
Is.
Do you know the band 311?
The band 311? Really?
They have, there's a 311 cruise. I know a guy. A guy, I,
182?
A guy I played tennis with in high school has been on, I believe, multiple 311 cruises.
Yeah, you might as well 7 Mary 3. You might
no,
as well just do it all. 7 Mary 311.
Like a party band.
The Verve, the Verve know? Pipe, the whichever.
Come on.
The Verve, they're all the same. No, if they have one, we easily could have one, I think. That would be lots of fun.
If I could just say,
yes.
The worst part of the weekly standard cruises were dinner. So
it's a gamble. Dinner was a gamble. Sometimes they're wonderful, but other times
it was 95% of the time awful. So what happens is you sit in a crowded ballroom where there is tons of ambient noise at a table of 10 people. All of whom are old, none of whom can hear to begin with, because they're old, and most of whom speak very quietly. And you have to entertain them and pretend that they are so sparkling and you are so happy to be there with them. And you have to listen to their instructions on how to really fix America.
Well, I mean, the thing
and
to keep
in not
mind.
Say to them, oh, sir, you're a horrible racist. You should die.
Okay. That was not my experience, but it is true because the whole point of this is to make money, amazingly. And people do not pay money just to listen to you. They pay money for you to listen to them.
That's, yeah, ding, ding,
you
know? Ding.
And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. And I'll tell you, it really improves my people skills, which are already pretty formidable. But,
top
you
notch.
Know, top notch, but you know, you go there, you got to be on. It's great. I tell you, that last cruise, the celebrity cruise to Alaska, did you get the table with the general and the general's daughter?
Oh boy.
No, I'm just going to say, okay. Sonny, how?
Oh, I remember who you were talking about.
Oh,
I remember that.
I couldn't even look at her. I was so intimidated. I could not, you know, somebody who's so, I'm talking about the general. No, this was not only the general's daughter.
It really was
the
general's daughter.
She might have been the general's
She was like 19.
Or daughter. You know what? She was granddaughter.
Yeah.
I think.
And she was clearly there to dominate. Sorry.
Right. It's getting weird.
Not at all creepy.
There was a guy who was hitting a young guy who was hitting on her, and I'm like, don't worry,
weird.
I'll protect you from him.
Okay.
It's a great cruise.
Listen, Sonny, we got to get to what the people want. Victorino, how's your phone?
Oh, Well, it's working now. So, yes, I sent everybody BCC that my phone wasn't working. I hate technology.
How did you send an email to literally everyone in your
address book? No, I didn't. I actually thought it was probably about 10 people, but I thought, who do I need to communicate with usually on text, if not phone? So it's both family and work, and that's it. And everybody else still, you know, everybody else is GChat and email and things like that. What happened was I finally, I would have kept my old iPhone SE forever, except for, I didn't mention this, but some time ago, when I was running, I fell on Lee Highway. I mean, I flat out fell on the, you know, on the sidewalk in front of the
Did you have your life alert on?
Thank God I did. Thank you for asking. I was not paying. It was on Lee Highway. I was not paying attention to my running, obviously. I was checking out all the gas prices because I was looking for, like, I always check out the gas prices and I try to guess what the gas prices are because it's interesting, the dynamic of four gas stations.
This is what he does instead of listening to music.
Why would I want to listen to a podcast
or an
when
or
I can
a,
play
an
guess
audiobook?
The gas price game?
Do you need me to get you a Walkman?
How many leaves are on this tree? Oh, maybe it's like 10,000 leaves. I don't know. Maybe it's like 12,000 leaves. There's so many leaves.
I've thought about it. And so, and this is after that Colonial Pipeline thing. So there's gas lines. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Who's open? What? Is the gas pump closed? Ooh. And then like one foot, like tripped on the other foot. I splayed out. I cut like part, like my hand. And then the phone goes flying. The protecting the OtterBox around my phone was already broken, so that's how it smashed.
Oh, no.
And then I picked it up. My glasses, of course, go flying because they don't fit on my head to begin with. And people driving on Lee Highway saw this. And then I got up and I grabbed my phone, and it was partly the glass was partly broken in the corner, but amazingly it was still working. And the map my run was on, so I just had to keep on running.
We gotta go.
I did. You know, the most important thing is that I recorded the run, because if not, it didn't happen. So then I finally went to AT&T and got the new iPhone SE 2020.
You didn't just get an iPhone 12?
No. I don't want that fancy stuff. I don't want that fancy stuff. The SE is the special
edition. Does your new phone have...
Or senior edition.
Does your new phone have portrait mode on it?
You could flip it.
Can you take a picture in it? No. I mean, does it have the mode, like when you pull up the camera,
yeah,
does it have portrait mode on it?
Well, I mean, if I do it like this,
turn around the back.
Portrait,
turn,
or I could do it like this.
Vic, turn it around. I'd like to see the back of it. How many camera lenses does that have?
Oh, just one.
Okay.
Just the one. Why do people have those ones with three? That's insane. Okay.
Well, the three is extravagant. I have two,
I don't know
and that's
what's
enough.
Going on.
No, the three is amazing. The three is the single most important. The third lens.
Well,
the one that
is the
lets
most
you see
important.
Through time.
Anyway,
goes through
what happened
right
was
forehead.
I did everything they told me to do. You put the old phone next to the new phone. It transfers it over, all the information and everything else carries
you make them,
over.
Did you light incense?
Did you make them do kissy faces?
I just bumped them next to each other. It was fascinating because at one point they say you have to capture the image on the other phone, and it's like this weird thing that's happening, like alien technology.
Is it a QR code?
No, it was a circular QR code.
Right,
yes.
Now.
So then that happens, and then when they said it's all set, except for it said no SIM on it. And so
you probably have to transfer the SIM card from the one phone to the other.
So I said, I don't remember ever having done it, but I realized when I got a phone, it came with that little, looks like a paperclip thing. And so
because like SIM City,
I don't have SIM City on this telephone. So I took it out, and
then
a tiny little gold plasticky looking thing comes out. And then I switched it with the other one, put it in. And then I thought I put in the right one. And then it said, no service. So I'm like, what is going on here? So then I brought it to AT&T, and the very nice fellow at the AT&T store in Clarendon Boulevard said, oh, actually, the other one in the old phone is the one that works, and the one that you put in is the one that doesn't work. So some sort of switcheroo happened. I don't know. But anyway, it works now.
Long story short, Vic has Pablo Escobar's cell phone.
That's probably what happened. Again, I don't even say taking out the SIM cards is like the wire, like the burner phones. I gotta take that thing out. Okay. Sonny, did you have anything else going on? Anything you feel like discussing?
I have a question for JBL. He might be able to help me with this.
Shoot.
We got a membership to a pool, which Ooh. Means that now for the first time in literally like 16 years since I went to Israel and bought a pair of swimming trunks in Israel, which is the only pair of swimming trunks that I have owned for the last 15 years, I actually need a second pair of swim trunks.
I need something
I can wear that doesn't like come halfway up my thigh. I need a pair of board shorts, maybe, or I don't know. I don't. What
you mean? You
know,
why, what do you think? Like it was going to be like Daisy Dukes or something? What do you
ask? No, well, I mean, no, but this is like the style now. The style now.
Oh, is it short again? Is it short again?
The shorts are like 4 or 5 inches above the knee now.
Oh,
I don't like it.
I didn't realize.
I don't care
that.
For that.
JVL.
Yeah, just go on to Amazon, search for Quicksilver Diamond Dobby. Diamond Dobby is just the name of the fabric that they use.
Quicksilver
Diamond Dobby.
And the
diamond.
Elf?
Yeah, Dobby, I think. Anyway, it's the most comfortable of the fabrics for board shorts, and it is what everybody should wear if you're going to need a pair of board shorts. They're great. Okay. Worth every penny. However, on the other hand, you should not go to a pool. Why would you go to a pool? Pools are horrible.
Well, I mean, they're fine. I mean, it's better than a beach with all that sand everywhere.
No. It's so much worse than the beach.
No.
Because you are in close proximity to other people's children.
Also, I don't live near a beach. Dallas is pretty landlocked. It's not a quick drive to any
then
beach.
Dig a pool in your own backyard, because the community pools or the pool club or all the... You're just there being judged constantly. You're being judged by other parents.
Oh,
you're being judged by the lifeguards who are like, you know, blowing the whistle, you're hanging on the buoys. Don't let your kid hang on the buoys. You know, and then other kids are horsing. You got to deal with their shit. This is, I got to say, I hate going to the pool, the community pool. I don't mind our pool at the beach, but the community pool with their kids as much as I hate going out to dinner in a restaurant with my kids. That's how much I hate it.
I guess I'd love the community pool, but JVL, I was going to recommend, Sonny, just go to the Ron John Surf Shop. Oh, sorry.
Oh,
so, hey, you like
Ron
that?
John.
Ron John, thank you. Yeah. For
I don't get it.
That's a
Jersey thing.
yeah, there you go. You get some billabongs. Okay. Well, good luck.
I feel like Quicksilver is not too far off from billabong.
Yeah, it's similar. That's right. Okay.
Quicksilver is the Nike of surfing. It's not the highest quality stuff, but it is the biggest brand. They sell the most dollars worth of soft goods. Mm-hmm. They are the empire in surf world.
But it's good.
The answer is it's always going to be fine.
It's good that you asked JVL about. He knows his swim trunks. Once he lent me his on the cruise.
I believe that's true.
It isn't true.
I believe I told you don't give them back. I believe I said just
do you remember
them.
Those are yours
do you
forever.
Remember I woke up and said, hey, can I borrow those swim trunks? Okay. JVL, good.
I said, sure, just pick them up off the end of the bed.
Wait, oh, there they are. Great. Ooh. Hey, never mind, I'm gonna leave it at that. Good luck with your neck thing. I hope you get able to get more sleep, otherwise you'll be wandering around like a zombie. Speaking of which, this week we're talking about Army of the Dead on Netflix. Which apparently Netflix says is one of the most popular movies ever on Netflix or something.
It's amazing.
It's done very well.
Stunning. For 72 million people watched at least 3 seconds of it over the course of 2.5 days.
Well, it's technically 72 million have watched at least 2 minutes, and that's an estimate over the first 28 days. That's like, that's how that number works.
So
they might lift it. But we didn't do box office update. We've got a box office update. Box office is back,
baby. I'm
going
to have to go to... Even if I type it in, my computer will have forgotten to fill the autofill in for box office mojo.
It'll be like, box office site. Right?
.com. Sonny, a box office update. What's going on?
Box office update. A Quiet Place 2 did $48 million over 3 days and did $58 million over 4 days. The box office is back, baby.
Do I
back,
have
people
to
are going back to the theaters?
Do I have to? Is it still like A Quiet Place? And then like the second movie got $100,000. Is that what it's like still, or is it
no,
like becoming
I
more
think it was
realistic?
Cruella
now?
Did like $18 million. Is that
oh right?
Right.
Yeah, Cruella. No, too. Cruella did like $28 million over 4 days.
Oh, okay,
which is interesting too because Cruella is out on Disney Plus Premier Access as well.
Oh, really?
So people can get it at home and watch it there, or they can go to the theaters and do and watch it there. $28 million. I still don't know what to make of the Disney Plus Premier Access experiments because we have no idea what the actual numbers from the Premier Access sales look like. We can make some estimates. The entertainment strategy guy does a good job of kind of like, you know, saying, well, it did as well as this or not as well as this. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. At the same time, you know, $28 million, nothing to sneeze at. But A Quiet Place basically opened at where the first A Quiet Place opened at.
Is it
a
also
huge number.
Is it also still directed by
written and directed by John Krasinski,
yeah. Wow.
Who of course wrote and directed yep. the first one, Jim from The Office.
Right.
He is back. He's in a little prologue. There's a prologue at the beginning showing day one of the alien invasion. But anyway, it's a good movie. People should go see wow. it in theaters. It'll be really interesting to see what the second weekend
the drop
numbers look like, just because the second weekends have been worse on these movies, because there's a lot of everybody who wants to see the movie goes and sees it the first weekend, and then there's some pretty significant decline. But we'll see if that's changing a bit.
Well, also, the clock is ticking on this, right, Sonny? Because it has a much shortened window.
Yes. So in 45 days, it will be on Paramount Plus.
Wow.
But the thing about
ooh,
that is,
yeah.
The thing about that is, nobody has Paramount Plus. It's not like Plus. It's not like HBO Max. It's not like Disney Plus. It's not like Netflix, which are or Hulu even, which are kind of the big names.
It's a lot like Peacock.
Yeah, it's
do you
like
have
a
to pay for
like the cock.
It's like what Shudder.
Is that what
it's
they call
Shudder
it?
Original.
Do they call it the cock?
You know? Nobody's the ever cock. Called it the cock.
Everybody calls it the cock.
The cock.
Do you have nobody to pay for the cock? Do you
for
have
the cock.
You, pay you always pay for the cock.
Yeah,
for
right.
You never get
question.
The cock for free. No, but there's actually, I think
that's
the cock,
actually not true.
The cock is actually free. It's the cock is actually.
If you are a Comcast subscriber.
Oh.
So if you are already paying
out of
for
luck,
Comcast
Verizon,
cable,
you're out of luck.
Then you also get the cock on the side.
Wait, do you get the cock on the ad tier for free, or is it the premium tier for free?
I don't know
Comcast.
The answer. I don't know
on
the
Comcast.
Answer to that because I don't have Comcast cable. I only have Comcast internet, and so as an
have
only
you cut
Comcast,
have you cut the cord entirely? Are you?
I cut the cord 12 years ago. I never
really?
Had cable in this house that I live now in.
Oh, that's interesting.
Wouldn't it be great if a cable company said you can choose like 10 channels, but they would never do that because how often do you go up more than 10 channels? I mean, really, just give me 10. But
this,
you can't do that.
That's not how the economics
I know.
Of all
no,
of this
and
works.
I know
it's people
it's
like
not.
You.
I know
it's people
going
like
on.
You. It's people like you yeah, that are the reason that we have 7,000 streaming channels yeah. now yeah. that we have to sign up for and that I have to expense and write off on my taxes.
Sonny, how about a big boy review?
Army of the Dead, 2.5 hour zombie epic from Zack Snyder. What did we do to deserve 2 Zack Snyder epics in a single year? I don't know. We've been very good, apparently. So Army of the Dead stars Dave Bautista, who people will remember from Guardians of the Galaxy and other stuff, as
a great Filipino-American.
As a ex-special forces, ex-military type who, in the film's early opening moments, we see evacuating Las Vegas, getting the Secretary of Defense out of Las Vegas. The opening, as with all Zack Snyder films, the opening 15 minutes or so are the best. You see how the zombie apocalypse happened and how the city of Las Vegas got that way. But the crux of the film is this. It's basically Ocean's 11 meets Dawn of the Dead by way of aliens and some with some other influences thrown in. This is like any Netflix movie insofar as it is overly long. It's probably 10%, 15% longer than it needs to be.
35.
It is probably it could have used somebody in the C-suite saying, we need to trim this plot line and this plot line. We need to do this and that. And there it is a weird, Zack Snyder does a weird visual thing in this. So he's the cinematographer in addition to being the one of the credited writers and the director, and he is using this camera that has no focus stops on it, so it can go as tight or as deep as he wants. And the result is this kind of almost, it's almost like the characters are drunk all the time. They're like, you get a super tight focus on one character or two characters, and everything else is kind of out of focus. And the effect of this, you know, is, I don't love it. I can understand the artistic impulse behind it, looking, you know, focusing on the individual in the face of cataclysmic horror, but I didn't love it. Is the long and the short of it. I enjoyed the movie. It's too long. It could use some trims here and there. I thought it was funny. I loved all of the stuff with the German safecracker. There's some wry political commentary. Sean Spicer, Donna Brazile arguing about the necessity of nuking Las Vegas, which was funny. Tig Notaro is very good in it. Tig Notaro, who was inserted digitally after the fact, because Chris D'Elia, the comedian, was found to have been hitting on underage women in his Twitter DMs. You know, so he got airbrushed out of this. Tig Notaro,
which is wrong, put in. Vic.
I'm so confused. Are you talking about our official stance?
Wait, that is wrong. I put a picture of Tig Notaro over Vic's face for the rest of this podcast.
Is that the billionaire?
Tig Notaro is the helicopter pilot.
It sounded like a Japanese name.
No, that guy, that's the guy who was in, he was in, most recently, we talked about Mortal Kombat. He was Scorpion.
That's right. Hiroyuki. Ken Watanabe. Yeah. He's great.
Sanada.
No, careful.
Hiroyuki.
Isn't he? He was great in Inception.
That moment when he says easy peasy Japanese and the German guy gets
like,
there and says,
I don't think we can say that anymore.
And then Tig Notaro's like, I'm not, he's Japanese. I think he can say it.
Yeah. It's funny.
The German guy
is hilarious
like,
in this.
So,
Matthias Schweighofer is very much like, he's like the German.
Oh, you get his name right.
Of course.
Shocker.
Wow. Don't call me out on this. He's like the German Anthony Michael Hall. Anyway.
Yeah, kind of a little more muscular. The movie is like deeply funny, and there is a level of poignancy to it that I think is a little bit underappreciated in the sense of the B plot involving Dave Bautista and his daughter and trying to save her and all of that, which. I don't like to draw direct parallels to the personal lives of creators, but if you know anything about Zack Snyder, his one of his adopted daughters killed herself while he was shooting Justice League, and it was it is one of the things that it messed him up like it would mess up any of us if we had a child kill themselves. And I think that he is working out some of those issues in this, and that is one of the reasons the movie is long and a little bit bloated, and it's one of the reasons I can't get too worked up about it, because the subplot that does not work is the one that involves the daughter trying to save the immigrant woman so she can go back to her child. It's just it feels forced in there. And it's boring compared to everything else that's happening in the movie. I don't care about it. I do think it is. I think it matters a lot to him, and as such, I am willing to give it a bit of a pass. I like the movie. It is funny. It has some good action. It's got great performances. Everybody in this movie is fantastic, from Bautista to Notaro to what's his name? The guy from Deadwood,
Garrett Dillahunt.
Thank you. Who is very kind of wryly funny. He's the right hand man of Bly Tanaka.
Oh yeah,
he's the one who's freaked out by the zombie tiger. He's like, that's not natural.
Unnatural.
Man. Yeah. That's unnatural. And I, you know, it has little comic grace notes throughout, like the social media guy, the Instagram guy who is like the ace zombie killer, and the stuff just in the beginning, the zombie rampage through Las Vegas, like the cops shooting the three frat boys who are like trying to be saved, like it just like random little humorous notes throughout. So I liked it, but of course I'm going to like it because it's a Zack Snyder zombie movie. I'm an easy lay on this one.
Question. I find your willingness, nay, eagerness to forgive Zack Snyder for packing in 35 minutes of totally boring and extraneous material because it was important to him personally.
Yes.
Interesting, and I wonder if it had been a lady director who shoehorned in 35 minutes worth or maybe an hour's worth of stuff that was just deeply important to her based upon like some experience she had in college or something. Would you be like, yeah, you know what though? I gotta forgive her that. Like, even though it makes the movie terrible.
Well, to be fair, I've forgiven.
Why is she working out her angst on film, which is supposed to be an artistic medium?
That's
for
a good question.
To be fair, I've given Sofia Coppola a pass on every single one of her movies, all of which are a series of her working out her very complicated daddy issues. So,
point made. Fair enough.
Rebuttal.
Victorino, what'd you think?
All right, let's take a look here.
I was mystified as to how you would approach this.
Okay, so plot is an A. It's pretty straightforward. Know what they got to do, except for they don't got to do, and, you know, it has to do with getting a zombie head. Okay, whatever. Spoiler alert. duration is a C+. That's a long movie.
It's long.
And just when you think it's over, it's not over. And then I have questions about that.
The end keeps going.
It's the end that keeps on going. Yeah. And I do have questions. Okay. Violence action, it does get an A+. I will say the most absurd of the deaths. It's not the tiger one. It's Ana de la Reguera, who, by the way, she's great in Eastbound and Down. She was younger. But she still looks good.
Oh, boy.
And
you don't have to say that part.
Oh, sorry. Anyway, the elevator door opens up and the zombie turns her head completely.
Snaps it.
Completely right around. So her head is her back. It was just completely. It was ridiculous. I laughed. That was creative. I do have to say I'm getting tired of all the CGI deaths, though, because they do look kind of fake. They're just, you know, I mean, it just looks,
they should be killing real people.
You know, if it was
a lot
Christopher
of this is
Nolan,
practical, though.
Christopher Nolan, people would have died.
Yeah, Christopher Nolan would have caused an actual zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
In the city of Las Vegas.
So it's not this. I mean, obviously, I appreciated it. It's, you know, it's better. It's a video game. We're watching a video game. By the way,
Victorino, are there bonus points for the presence of A10 warthogs?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's very nice to see them. I love those guys.
I would think that your ears would have perked up when you saw them.
That was great.
Flying over the Vegas Strip, mowing down zombies.
Yes, no, that was excellent. And you know what's funny? I remember the thing about the A10s that I noticed was the color, which is, you know, we're so used to them, and I'm so used to them in different models being sort of green and different that. But this was like a lot of them are that color, by the way, which is the color of the sky. Sex nudity gets a C. It's a great opening, except for, you know, very dangerous. You could have pulled over, saved humanity. Just pull over.
What about the topless showgirls? What about the topless zombie
takes
showgirls?
Away the free zone. I mean, driving is what makes it hot. Right, you pull it over.
Yeah, I know. But then, of course,
that's also necessary to the plot. It's the best kind of sex. The sex that is necessary to the plot.
That leads to death. Terrible. Yeah. Okay.
So for sex and nudity?
It gets about a.
There's actual nudity in this. This movie has more nudity than any movie
that
we've seen.
The zombie showgirls?
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. I give it a B. So there you go.
So overall B.
Overall B, I'll tell you what, I really did not like the daughter character in this, Kate. Yeah. I found her really annoying, and the whole thing about how, you know, she cost people's lives.
Totally.
And also, I love how the rest of the team, is geared up to kill these zombies, and they got their machine guns or whatever else they use, and they're packing all this stuff and back. And she's there in her tank top and a handgun, and she also doesn't seem quite phased or even scared at all, like the safecracker theater is terrified, but she didn't seem scared at all by these zombies. And so that annoyed me. You're right, I did think about Aliens. That guy who is basically the Paul Reiser character who was working for the boss and secretly leads them there, but, you know, wants to just get the head of the zombie and bring it back, and tries to screw over that one girl, as a matter of fact. JVL, I had a question for you.
Yeah.
You were worried before we watched The Woman in the Window. You were asking if it was going to be scary, and it wasn't. Did you find this movie at all scary? Because I thought there were parts that I found scary.
I found it much more of an action movie than a
scary movie. As I described to you guys, it's more Aliens than Alien.
This is
not horror, it's action.
I was scared when they had to go into the room of the sleeping zombies. That was scary. Just telling you listeners right now, scary part, sleeping zombies.
It wasn't really that scary. She was just like pulling off headshot after headshot. It's just an action scene.
It was
scene.
Scary for me going through that. Don't wake them up. But I do have some questions that I might want to get to JVL. Wouldn't the dude in the safe who emerges at the end, wouldn't he have gotten like radiation poisoning? How long was he waiting for the bomb blast to end and he comes out of it with the money?
I don't think it matters because he was bitten by a zombie.
Okay.
So.
Wouldn't he have turned into a zombie much sooner than waiting and before the plane is beginning its descent into Mexico City? Dave Bautista, that happened pretty quick. Other people quick.
He got bitten, I think he bled out. I don't think he turned. He died and then he turned.
Well, he was like,
but this guy just got bitten. And so I think that's slower.
Yeah, I mean, in the opening montage, we see people walking around, you know, trying to escape, you know, people in the cars who are covering up that they've been bitten because they haven't died yet.
Right.
Mm. Right. The point is you have to die first.
It seemed like a long
time.
The woman who is the coyote, yes, the smuggler woman, what is
Lily.
She doing? She's bringing them into Vegas to get money?
She takes them into Vegas where they, like, steal from the casinos. They, you know, crack the slot machines or whatever, and then they come out with the money.
Terrible idea. And they use that to bribe the
camp guards.
JVL.
Did the camp women seem to you to be the type of people who would be competent to sneak into a zombie-infested... Like, what sort of, like, normal, you know, housefrau would be like, I really need money.
I'm going to this place.
I'm going to pay you to let me into zombie world, and then
terrifying.
I will kill a bunch of zombies. Like,
yes.
This is terrible plan.
This is a terrible plan. Okay, and not worth rescuing. And obviously, they all died anyway, so what was the... They all died. Okay, and last question. Is this a migrant camp, a quarantine camp, or a migrant quarantine camp?
Well, so it's interesting because, this film was obviously written before COVID happened, right? So this, you know, and it basically is taking the idea that this camp of immigrants and political prisoners, right, is being oppressed by the fascist, you know, president, whatever. But because they're using it under the pretext of a health scare, it takes on a whole different tenor in the COVID age. And this is, political metaphors are very tricky. And if you put it out at just the wrong time, as I think you could make the case that this movie was not done any favors for what it was intending to say, for the argument it was intending to make, by putting it out in the midst of an actual pandemic, it kind of inverts the actual message that they were going for, which I actually find very amusing. I find deeply, deeply amusing. But it's also a testament to the film that it's not the film is not didactic or pedantic. It just kind of lays these things out there and lets you interpret them how you wish.
It would have been worse had the film been more competent in laying out the message it was trying to make, right?
This is, in other words, it's better that it was muddled.
About whether they were political prisoners. It was so poorly done because,
it's just
again, it was
in there.
Well, but because it's all part of the plot for the daughter. This is right. You know, you, Chief, without the daughter, you don't need any of that. You don't need the camp. You just need the city with the walls around it and a coyote who brings them in. That's all you need.
JVL, what did you think?
You know, I mean, this is like asking Sonny about musicals. Zombie movies are just not my thing. I don't enjoy them. It was fine. I mean, I think I probably enjoyed it as much as I could enjoy a zombie movie that is an hour too long. But because I don't think it's not 35 minutes too long. It's at least 45 minutes too long and maybe an hour. If this thing had been more brisk, and as you say, Sonny, the obvious answer is to kill the daughter and everything associated with her plot line. You just don't need any of it. And then you don't need the political aspect of it. You don't need the camps. You literally just need the place itself and you move on in. But it was fine. I mean, as you said, Sonny, because Sonny's always right, the first 15 minutes are absolutely charming. I mean, the pre-credit sequence where they show not only the how the first zombie gets out, but then they do a long cover of Viva Las Vegas, where what they really do is they tell an entire prequel to this story in like 4.5 minutes of snapshots. And
snapshots.
Snyder even does this weird thing where he takes the main characters from the prequel and actually puts them against backdrops as if they're being photographed. Portraits, right? And including the woman who is Dave Bautista's partner, who dies at the end of this, right? So they are, again, the whole thing is just like a miniature version of a movie. And I just thought that was great. Mm-hmm. And it was really economically done and had just style to burn the way you expect from Snyder, right? Even down to the fonts. He did this really interesting font choice for those opening credits.
I was curious what you made of that, because I didn't love them. They
Vegas-ish.
Felt a little plain, weirdly.
No, I thought because they're pink, they're really tall, there are no serifs. So he's just really, really tall. I mean, so tall that it's probably 30% of the total screen height. Like, really tall, skinny letters. In this kind of weird, soft, everything about it is just quirky, but in a way that isn't precocious. I liked it. The first 15 minutes were great. Had the rest of the movie had that same verve to it, I would have liked it even more. But it does become a more paint-by-numbers-y action movie after that, and it goes on too long. It's a very competently told action movie. But it just isn't economical enough for what it is.
Did you watch on your TV or on your laptop?
I watched on my TV.
Vic, did you watch on your TV?
Of course. I watch all these things. Mostly.
Did you guys have the Dead Pixel issue?
No.
So I watched it twice.
Do you have a Dead Pixel in your OLED?
So I watched it twice. The first time was in a theater and it looked fine. The second time was at home and it was interesting because it was shifting. On the screen, the Dead Pixel was shifting on the screen, and I thought, like, okay, maybe I'm getting some interference or something. I turned off my Apple TV. I turned it back on. I tried watching it on my Apple TV and then via the interface on my on the LG, and I was like, no, there's still something showing up here. It's very weird. And then I looked on Twitter, and other people were making the same complaint that there is in the 4K UHD feed from Netflix, there is, at least on some TVs or maybe some systems, there was a consistent Dead Pixel that it was just like a bright white spot in the image.
That's weird.
It was, and it would just like sit there, and apparently it's something either in the file or in the camera or the actual camera lens or something.
Oh, that's not good.
But it was, I was like, oh no, I think my TV is broken. This is no good. But thank God, not the OLED. It was other issues.
I have to say, I'm glad this didn't happen to me, because had I been you with a brand new OLED and this happened to me, I would have been out of my mind.
Yeah. It would have
I would have been ranting and raving, and Shannon would have been like, "Shut up! What are you? What is wrong with you?" I'd be like, "But there's that dead pixel."
Yeah,
and she would have sat there and then said,
"I can't even see it.
I don't even see it. What are you talking about?"
Yeah. Sonny, you're a sort of zombie person. Where does this movie rank in your zombie rankings?
I don't know. I mean, it's I would not say that I'm a zombie person. Actually, I like the Romero dead pictures fine. Mm-hmm. I actually prefer the Snyder remake of Dawn of the Dead to the original.
What about like the Danny Boyle zombie movies?
I like 28 Days. I like 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later a lot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I mean, again, it's a Netflix movie, which means that it's, again, 15% too long. I think mm-hmm. you could have trimmed 20 minutes from this relatively easily, and every Netflix movie should be subjected to somebody whose only goal it is to reduce it in length by 10 minutes to 20 minutes. Every movie, just like
I would,
regardless of what the director wants, because mm-hmm. giving the director too much power in these situations is not ideal. But I liked it. I liked it fine.
I would say as annoying as aspects of this movie were, and as long as it was, I found it more relaxing, enjoyable, and less disturbing than 28 Days and 28 Weeks Later, which were very sort of, I thought, effective zombie movies, but also leaves you very disturbed.
Yeah, well, those are horror movies. I mean,
it was awful. And Robert Carlyle, and the worst is when he kills his wife, and it was like she's strapped to that gurney. That's the worst thing I'd ever seen. Yeah. Anyway, so World War Z, I thought that was good too. But this is, I thought this was fine. Okay, do we have any other thoughts on this movie?
No.
Can
we ask people if they want us to do MODOK?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I saw somebody mention it in the comments or somewhere. Mm-hmm. MODOK, MODOK on Hulu.
So I am interested in this. I propositioned you guys on this because it's like Marvel doing an in-house robot chicken. And it, you know, where it is, it's not quite like Deadpool level R humor. In fact, it's not anywhere near Deadpool level R humor, but it is a definitely mature audiences. It's not for your kids, and it's pretty funny. And it just takes this weirdo villain character from Marvel
and makes a show about him.
Show about him that is like half Dr. Evil, half Robot Chicken, and half Family Guy, I think. And it's just weird. It's a kind of daring thing.
I thought you said you'd never watch Family Guy.
Well, I haven't watched Family Guy, but I assume this is basically what Family Guy is like. Mm. Now, isn't Stewie want to take over the world?
Mm.
I feel like I could relate to this character, too.
Obviously. I'm down with doing it. Are the episodes 15 minutes or 30 minutes?
In between.
22 minutes. Something like that. Anyway, look, if people are into this, they should leave comments and tell us yes. But if they think it's a horrible idea, then tell us and we won't.
Okay.
I feel like there's something else good coming up, isn't there?
Conjuring Part 3, The Devil Made Me Do It?
I was going to say The Friends Reunion. Well, somebody said Matthew Perry slurring is a thing that was trending.
No kidding.
Yeah, I don't know.
That guy.
Yeah.
Color me shocked.
Okay. I also thought,
we could do The Mayor of Easttown.
Everyone's talking about that. Easttown. Did you like it, Sonny? Everyone's talking about it.
I liked it. I don't think JVL would like it. I don't think he'd care for it.
All right. By the way, I thought that they would have found some way around the zombie thing by having like cooling temperatures, because apparently that's how they sense you, that you're not them is by the heat. Did you notice that? There was a passing reference
to it.
Yeah,
you get colder.
I thought, they can wear something that makes them cold. Okay.
Oh,
I guess
quickly,
not.
Are you guys in favor of nuking Vegas or not?
In the context of this movie? No, yes. It's a terrible idea. It's a terrible idea because if you have one stray zombie, then you have them contained. You have them contained, and nuking them will just destroy the containment. So if one zombie gets out of there, you know, it's no good.
Yeah, because it blows the car.
If there's one zombie down there in one of the like underground bunkers or whatever, it's getting out. Terrible idea.
That's
it's a terrible
a
idea.
Point.
You need to go. You need
That's
to go casino to casino
and just
kill,
conventionally,
destroy,
conventionally
burn,
kill them
slash,
all.
Slash. Yeah, you got it. But you got
it. Why does
got,
it seem like
it
there
way.
Are millions? Why does it seem like there are literally millions in there stuck in the strip? That's the part that fascinates
well,
me.
I mean, there's lots of people in Las Vegas at any given
I guess, time. Yes, but geez. Okay.
I mean, if you imagine if Las Vegas in the height of summer, you know, just like a random
and
July
they all became
weekend
zombies.
Yeah. And everybody and, you know, 90% of the people in that city became a zombie.
Would you still have zombies out on the strip, like slapping the little papers, trying to stick them in your hand as you walk past?
Right, they're just doing it anyway. They don't even know why. They're just going through the motions. They don't even know why, right. Because that's you got to do it. You got to hand those cards. Pictures of ladies who are almost never the same ladies.
What if they were zombie ladies?
To your room.
They had pictures of zombie ladies.
Zombie ladies. Thank you very much.
I'm just trying to move on.
Okay, right. All right. Spirit of the week. Anything, Sonny? You drinking something?
Diet Coke. That's what
oh,
I'm drinking.
Yeah, I'm drinking water. Corrections.
Healthy.
Corrections. Shout outs. Anything? Okay. That is all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, compliments. Tweet us at Sonny Bunch at Victorina Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon. Just go to subbeacon.com. We are there. Tell your friends. Until next time. What's going on? JVL, you got something?
You know, all I got was something that really isn't suitable for outtakes. I had wanted to prompt Sonny that we have just gone through 2 weeks that shook the entire foundations of Los Angeles and the entertainment industry and Hollywood. We have Amazon buying MGM. We have Warner Brothers being cast off into the outer darkness to merge with
Discovery
in a partnership that Discovery has the lead on, which is like Amazon. If Amazon sold the Washington Post to ValuePack and ValuePack was the senior partner on the new Washington Post
ValuePack's
slash
ValuePack's calling the shots.
Right. And I forget, what was the third one? Oh, and AMC stock up 1,900% this week, because that makes a great deal of sense. It's as if all of Hollywood has gone insane. And I was just curious if this has been... Are you interested in this stuff? Are you not interested? Are you?
I mean, the AMC thing is interesting because it is like totally divorced from Hollywood. It has nothing to do with Hollywood. It has to do with Reddit and meme finance. That's what that is.
But it could wind up having the effect of saving theatrical.
Well, what it will end up doing is it will buy AMC more time. I mean, they're not raising enough money off this to be able to save AMC, but they will be able to buy some time. They've made noise about buying the ArcLight properties, and
they're
going
to buy distressed properties and expand. They say they're going to use the money to make more movie theaters.
I mean, everywhere where the virus has gone away, a new product has come back. The box office has returned. China, Japan, Korea. I do not think that things are quite as dire as we all thought they were in September, October of last year. So I'm hopeful that things will turn around somewhat. But the MGM Amazon thing is interesting. I don't really have huge thoughts on it because I don't know, you know, the question is, what is Amazon going to do that MGM couldn't do with the properties that they have? It's not like they are going to magically create new creative people who are going to be able to come in. All right, this is what we're going to do with RoboCop. We're going to make this is going to work for RoboCop now, right? Like MGM,
the Bezos memo, right?
We're going to use these IPs and turn around and like, okay. I mean, MGM's already been trying that. What Amazon has that MGM did not have is an enormous pockets. So Amazon can fail. Amazon can fail at 10 attempts to reboot RoboCop, Legally Blonde, you know, Rocky, whatever. And if they hit with one of them, if they hit with one thing, then it's fine. I mean, the real question to me is what they do with the half of the library that MGM still has. So MGM famously had one of the biggest libraries, movie libraries in Hollywood history. They only really have about half of that now. They sold about half of it to Turner, and Warner Brothers owns a big chunk of that. But you know, there's still probably 2,000 or 3,000 movies that Amazon could literally just put on Prime. They could just turn Prime into like the place to go for back catalog films if they wanted to, which would be an interesting move. But I don't think people don't sign up for things for the back catalog. I mean, as great as HBO Max's back catalog is, people aren't signing up for that. They're signing up for the new Warner Brothers movies. They're signing up for Mare of Easttown, stuff like that. I mean, so what MGM ends up meaning to Amazon is it could be as little as Jeff Bezos being able to say, I own James Bond, or really I own 50% of James Bond, but we're not going to, you know, details.
Okay. Victory, now do you have something to get us out of here now? That was okay, more substantive than we do normally do here.
That's fine. I was looking at I was curious about the actor from Army of the Dead, the German actor Matthias Schweighofer. I said, I've seen him before, and he is in, he was in Valkyrie with the Bryan Singer movie, Valkyrie. Yeah. He played a German officer. And then before that, you know, he's been at a bunch of different shows, and one of them, of course, and I said to myself when I was looking at his IMDb, I bet you he was on Tatort, which Tatort, I don't know if you know what that is. That is like the German version of like Law and Order. It's been on forever. Oh, boy. In fact, it's been on with different detectives, and it's been on since the 70s. If anyone listens to this, it was when I lived there in Germany and then in Austria. It's a great way to learn the language is by watching these crime series like Tatort, because then you can get into it and then you can figure out, and then you really want to pay attention because you want to know how these things are going. Hard enough for me as you know in English, let alone in German. But I remember having this conversation. And you know what else I helped watching other shows in German, including a show called Verbotenes Liebe, which is called Forbidden Love. And I remember sharing that with, talking to the Germans, and they were all poking fun at me like, oh, that's so cheesy. It's like, you know, Melrose Place or whatever it was. And then I thought, oh, I'm really rolling here. And then I told them the other show I was watching is called Maria Hoff. And then they all stopped and they looked at me and a woman says, why would you watch that? That's the show that's popular with 14-year-old girls. And I said, what?
How do you say I'm sure it's fine in German?
Yeah.